Hello and welcome back to the SAFcast. I'm Connor Donnelly and we're delighted to be back after a bit of a sabbatical there. So today we're going to be previewing the Antrim Senior Hurling Championship final between Dunloy and Rossa. I'm joined by Brendan McTaggart of the Saffron Gael and David Moen of the Andytown News, so enjoy the show. So for this preview of the Antrim Senior Hurling Championship final between Dunloy and Rossa, I've got two SAFcast stalwarts at this stage. I think you've been on it more than anyone else apart from me. So I've got David Moen from the Andytown News. David, how's it going?
How's things? Going well.
Good stuff. And Brendan McTaggart as well from the Saffron Gael. Brendan, what about yourself? How are things with you?
The very best, Connor, and yourself.
Hey, all good. I feel like we've now, big game of the weekend here, bit of a novelty. David, I suppose, as well, with Rossa being in the final this year, and I suppose looking, their first final since 2004, which they obviously won. So, you were at the press night that they had earlier in the week there, and I suppose looking ahead, what's the sort of feeling coming from there?
I think everybody's now looking forward to it. I think we just mentioned just before we started that, we also had the Money Glass football game at the weekend just passed. So a lot of attention the first week really was towards that, and I was hoping to advance the football championship. It wasn't to be. So this week, really, it's kind of, you can really kind of really look forward to the hurling final now. And I get the feeling off the players, obviously it's first time for the club in 17 years, bit of a novelty, but nearly a novelty for Belfast hurling, Aside from St. Gall's in 14, there hasn't been a city side in the final. So, yeah, I suppose it's that extra novelty, I suppose you want to call it, that makes this game more intriguing.
Yeah, and I suppose the difference as well with 14 with St. Gall's is the way that the draw, Ross has run to this final, is very different to what St. Gall's experienced that year, Ross are obviously coming off the back of consecutive victories, which, should set them up nicely going into this. They couldn't come in any prepared, I suppose.
Oh, surely. Off the good start in the group, so it was the home win against Ballycastle, then across to St. Enda's and Avenna, and getting the victory then, it was, that winner take all, got up to Lough Gill that day, and I suppose it was really important for Ross because you're fighting on the two fronts that, to get that bye and get the extra week off. So, it was a bit of a free hit because you were still going to be at a quarter final, but you really wanted that week off just to really get preparation. And, going up to Lough Gael, it's not an easy place to go. I mean, very few teams come out of there with a victory. So, really just boost confidence getting into that semi-final against Cushendall, which, I think everybody knew was a toss of a coin game. And so it proves, it was another epic in the Antrim Senior Hurling Championship, which have been very lucky to have over the last number of years.
Yeah, I suppose in that game alone, the last 10 minutes, the coin tossed a few different directions with that there. Brendan, for Dunloy then, coming into the final, they've come through the other side there as well. Obviously, they've renewed a bit of rivalry with St. John's in the semi-final as well. I suppose from Dunloy's point of view, they're very much going in as favourites for this and, have been successful in the last couple of years. And how does this sort of differ, I suppose, to the Dunloy camp?
A lot of people are putting Dunloy down as favourites, and I suppose that's very hard to argue against. And you'd have to be insane to argue against it. But there's really going to be nothing between these here two teams. Last year's proved that. And you look at Rossa and what they've done this year, building upon last year. Rossa have momentum. They have beaten two of North Antrim's big dogs, so they have in the championship for the first time since I don't know when. And they have that bit of momentum. And then there's the sneaky memory from last year that they probably should have beaten Dunloy and Rossa Park. And then that Chrissy McMahon just nipped over and beat them in injury time in the last year's semi-final. So they feel they've a wee bit of a point to prove. Dunloy coming into it, I suppose that against St. John's, they weren't firing. They probably just did enough. The weather conditions up in Dunsully was horrific. Probably didn't help matters that day. But I think throughout the championship, Dunoy have probably steadily improved. They weren't great against Cushion Doll in the first match. They got a draw there, but they went out and defeated Tiernanogan in the next match. And you could almost see it was a release of frustration because they felt that themselves that they underperformed. Then they went out in St John's up in Corrigan, and it was frightening how well Dunoy played that day, to be honest with you. They were flying all over the pitch, and I suppose from a Dunoy perspective, looking at that was without Paul Shields for probably 90% of that game as well. Like we all know what Shorty brings to Dunoy as well. So look, they played semi-finals. Semi-finals are for winning, I suppose. It doesn't matter how well you play. They got over the line against St John's, and they're favourites coming into Sunday's final. But look, it's, in my opinion, it's another toss of the coin game, you know.
Yeah, last year's semi-final showed that as well. David, didn't they? And Brennan makes a good point, you know. Yeah, Dunoy may be slight favourites, but surely only slight with the form that Ross could easily have been in the final last year, you know, with considering how the semi-finals kind of tossed about and turned there.
Yeah, I guess so. I know I was chatting to one of the fellas during the week, and looking back at last year's semi-finals, you know, it was, you know, obviously gut-wrenching really for them, just the manner of the defeat. And oh, you know, maybe look back at last year, and it was a funny year in a way. You know, there was no league campaign, teams were coming in maybe a small bit cold, but it certainly livened up as it went on. Yeah, you know, Ross will take a bit of confidence from that game last year, but I guess they'll know that forewarned is forearmed, really, from Dunloy's perspective for this as well. You know, there's no surprise package here anymore, that they know what they're getting into. They fairly expect Dunloy to be at the top of their game. Ross with that bit of confidence getting in, probably kind of thinking, you know, we're not too far away, but that extra couple of percent and making that jump, really, I suppose the last few steps are always the hardest to take, really, are they?
Yeah, and probably from, you know, there's probably is a lot of talk of Ross, you know, going into this final, obviously, because of their, getting to the final again after 17 years. And I suppose that kind of focus that's on them probably will suit Dunloy kind of nicely as well, if you're looking at it from that side of things.
I'd imagine so. Yeah, there has been an awful lot of coverage, even before the semi-final throughout the year in Ross, because of the resurgence has been so long and, you know, new teams coming through to challenge for titles. It's always a great story. You know, it's the Antrim title has been a three-way split between Dunloy, Cushion Doll, Lochgill, really, since Ross won it in 2004. So I guess, you know, from a neutral, even kind of media kind of perspective, it's quite a nice story. And I suppose you always want to see those teams, like new players, new characters, new personalities and all that. And, you know, it builds things up really nicely for everybody going this weekend.
Yeah, Brendan, the semi-final you mentioned there of Dunloy against St John's, and they obviously played each other earlier in the championship as well, and probably in terms of weather and everything, just kind of made that game kind of, I suppose, difficult conditions to play in and that. But I suppose Dunloy's ability to pull away in the end up there maybe is something to be looking out for this weekend. I'm not sure what the forecast is meant to be actually for Sunday, but it is something that, you know, when they go into Corrigan Park, that is something to factor in. Is that their ability, I suppose, for Dunloy to play right through to the final whistle?
That's very true. Dunloy, I think we're a couple of points ahead at half-time against St John's, and granted, St John's were down to 14 men, but Dunloy, they didn't really get started in the first half against St John's. So, you know, it was a very stop-start opening 30 minutes there, and I suppose that St John's were doing all they could to try and break up the game, break up the flow and any kind of momentum. You know, everybody knows that Dunloy's a very dangerous side whenever they get going, and whenever they get the momentum going there, and St John's did very well to kind of counter that. But probably after about 5 or 10 minutes into the second half, Dunloy just kind of started knocking over scores and that there, and they looked more like themselves. And I suppose the big moment in that game was Donald Nugent's goal being disallowed. I think it was shortly after that there that Caelan Molloy got Dunloy's goal. But it just kind of sealed the job that day. But look, Dunloy, they have belief in themselves. Obviously, that comes from winning championships and things like that there. But they have you know, the momentum and the what's the right way of putting it? They just have a style of play that no matter the conditions, you know, they know what to do, and they just put full faith and trust into that there. Look, Corrigan Park. Personally, I'm delighted it's there. It's a great pitch, great surface, and it kind of makes sense for it to be there now that the ground's been renovated. But you know, any time you're playing in Corrigan, Dave can tell you as well. You know, standing there watching matches, there's always a wind of some sort blowing. Yes. So you know that I can imagine the weather conditions will have some sort of impact on Sunday.
And on the, I suppose from the Noise point of view, Brendan, like, who is it in the Rossa team that they're particularly, you know, there's obviously the usual names in there that you'd be looking out for, but who would the Noise be particularly keeping a close eye on? I mean, there's probably any numbers of player, really.
Any number, you've got 1 to 15, then you get another 5 or 6 subs that could come on, and that's, I'm not just saying that there, and I've been highly impressed with Rossa for this past couple or 3 years, like, so I have, you know, the obvious one you're looking at is Mick Armstrong, who can actually play anywhere in the pitch. He's a guy that fascinates me because no matter where he's at, he's a 9 out of 10 every time. I posed this here question to, I think it was Rocky up in Rossa, that where is his best position? You know, at one stage I wasn't sure that Rossa actually knew that answer, but. They played him in full back, did a job against Neil McManus, and as rightly pointed out to me during the week, he actually played very well in there too. But whenever they moved him up into the edge of the square, he was phenomenal. And it was an absolute game changer against Christian Dahl. But you know, you've got him, you've got Jared Walsh, who is an outstanding hurler, and he's proved that there throughout the year for Antrim as well. Stephen Shannon, yeah, you know, there's Ross is absolutely littered with quality hurlers. You know, there's Declan Murphy, and like, he never stops. So he doesn't. The man is like the hurling equivalent to Jarosel Bonney, like, say, as you know, that he just never stops running. Like, and he brings serious energy and drive to the middle of the park there for Ross as well. That there's plenty of dangers there. But if I'm looking at it, I'm thinking that there's one man that the Noi needs to be looking after. That's a toss of a coin between Mick Armstrong and Stephen Beattie. They're two stalwarts there for us, I suppose you could say, but the experience, knowledge, class, quality and all that they bring to that Ross side, it's untold. So, yeah.
Yeah, David, I suppose then on the flip side then, you know, there'll be plenty of high-quality attacking players as well, plenty of pace, plenty of them featuring in the county team, for example, there. You know, I suppose from Ross's point of view going into this final, they obviously have the experiences against Dunloy last year in the championship, both in the group stage and the semi-final stage, two very close games is an understatement. But you know, who are they looking at in the Dunloy team thinking, right, that's somebody we need to be stopping? Again, I know there's probably more, not just the one person.
Yeah, I know, it's again, it's like take your pick. How long have we got here to talk about Dunloy? I mean, you look at that full forward line. I mean, Kobe's standing there full forward. I mean, you shut him down. Sean Elliott's off the left. He's been free scoring nearly in games. Chris McMahon, he was a scourge of Rossa last year in that semi-final. And actually, the group game, he nailed an equaliser deep, deep, deep in injury time. He had a quiet semi-final. Will he have such a quiet game again? I don't know. Keelan Malloy bursting from midfield. Owen O'Neill out of wing forward. Remember last year in the county final against Lochgill, he put over some absolutely ridiculous scores from the tightest of angles. Then, of course, you've Shorty. You know, I don't know what way he'll be listed. Or I think against St John's, he was maybe 8 or 9 in his back. At the throw-in, he's a bit wing forward, but he just drops back into that kind of free roaming role where he just kind of trot about, get on ball, and just pick passes. I mean, it's nearly telepathic. Remember a couple of balls he put into, I think it was Kobe, with Sham in the first half. He just let the thing go. You're looking, where's that going? And just, he just got the, it was like a postage stamp. He knew exactly where that person was going to be at a certain time. So I guess the trick or the job really is to try and stop that ball really going in, keeping tabs of the likes of Keelan Malloy from bursting out of midfield. You know Keelan's going to get a couple of points. It's just, you know, the job's maybe to try and limit it to just a couple because he can have such an influence on the game. But yeah, you know, it's maybe just trying to prevent the ball getting into those forwards, because if they get quality ball and out in front, you know, I think we all know what Dunloy can do. I mean, 2:30 the last time they were Corrigan Park. They're in the group stage. I mean, that says it all.
Yeah, and Brendan Keelan Malloy's mentioned there, obviously great form for the county as well. This year earlier in the Aileen Championship, is in the middle of the field there for Dunloy. I suppose 1-3 in the semi final just shows you kind of the impact he's having on the club scene this year as well.
Aye, that's very accurate. So it is. Look, Keelan's a phenomenal player. So yes, if he's not the best player in the county at the minute, he's definitely one of them. Like, so yes, he can be absolutely everywhere. You know, people look at him in his scoring stats and things like that there. But, you know, there was at times against St John's where I seen him back in his own full back line as well. So there was, you know, he's getting close to be the complete hurler and almost the dream midfielder, like say. Yes, there's no two ways about that. I wouldn't fancy chasing him around Corrigan Park for an hour, but like that there. So, but you know, he's the scary thing about Keelan. You know, I think what is he, 23? 20, if he's 23, if he's 24, he may just be 24. You know, has he realised his potential yet? So, and I suppose there's more than Keelan like that in this year than my team, but Keelan certainly has been phenomenal and. You know, he certainly has been a leader in this year Dunloy team, and he's led by example for sure.
Yeah, David, and we talked about the Dunloy St John semi-final there, and we briefly just touched on Ross's win over Cushendall. I suppose that there bit of deja vu, really, whenever the Paddy McGill goal went in, really, was probably something they were feeling, and I've read a couple number of interviews where they've said similar, you know, some of the players, but then they reacted to that. What's the difference, do you think, with Rossa this year to react in that positive manner? Do you think it is the experience of 2020 behind them that perhaps helped there?
I think it probably could be because, you know, when McGill fired into the net, I think the clock had just hit 60 minutes and you're thinking, you know, this is gone. That's it. It's done. But yeah, I think one of the lads was saying as well, it really was that Dunloy game last year where Dunloy are champions for a reason. The reason is that they keep going to the end. But we've seen it with Cushendall even over the years, you know, getting those late winners we thought they had at that time. So suppose if you want to try and get to that next level, you've got to see out the games as quickly as you began them. You can't let up for a second, and you just have to keep sort of believing in yourself, really, you know, and just keep pushing. Well, when the ball's still in play, you're still, there's life, there's hope. So Ross did that, and I suppose they got their reward. Even while McGill scored the goal, that was a goal in it. Jared Walsh had a free to lob in. It just travelled over the bar, and you're thinking, well, that's definitely it now. But there was one last play, and fellas got themselves into the right position. Jared put it in. Michael Armstrong, as we mentioned, really great vision as well. He didn't panic, thinking this might be the last chance to pull on for himself. It was looking for somebody outside him. Dara Rocks had made a pretty decent run off the shoulder. Again, didn't panic, and it was a composed finish. So that sort of composure maybe comes down to, you know, strength and conditioning as well, having that, I suppose, being fresh mentally as well as physically, that, you know, to see out games well. So that's been mentioned to me before the semi-final from Colin Murphy, was saying a big thing was their condition that they're doing, that they're able to go to the very end of games.
Just maybe to add on to that there, I think this is what makes Ross an extremely dangerous opponent for Dunloy on Sunday too. The fact that they have learned from, you know, previous matches where they've been beaten maybe in the closing stages and that there. Against Cushendall, they were 5-up with, what is it, 4 or 5 minutes to play. Cushendall probably had no right to win that game, so they had Ross had did a lot of the hurling in it, and Cushendall just did it as Cushendall famously do. They dug in, they managed to find a way, but the difference between Ross 2019 and 20 to the Ross 2021, they just kept going like so they did, you know, and they showed again belief in themselves and a togetherness, and you know, whenever you've got that there kind of spirit and the momentum and all that coming into a final, you know that they're going to have they're a dangerous opponent, put like that.
Yeah, and you know, Brendan, this is fourth county final in 5 years for Dunloy, and you know, they're coming up against Ross, it's their first final in 17 years. Is there, do you see that any kind of factor that playing on the game, or do you think actually that both teams are going into this year as a, you know, they're well used to each other at this stage, that almost that kind of historical impact might not even have as big an impact in the game or not? Or do you read much into that, I suppose, for these types of fixtures?
I don't really read that much into it, if I'm being honest. I think it's more for us and the media and fans and all to read more into it. I think that the players themselves, it'll be a final that the Antrim leagues, that they know each player, club, individuals inside out, like, so they also, yeah, they'll just, you know, I can't see it having an impact. Saying that there, the way it could be difficult for Rossa to not get up for the final. Obviously, you know, anybody that can't get up for a final shouldn't be playing hurling, so they shouldn't, you know, but it was the euphoria of the semi-final and the outpour of emotion that came onto the pitch afterwards, you know. It was brilliant to see, don't get me wrong, so, but, you know, as a neutral, you might want to sit back and think, oh, God, you know, lads, yes, brilliant, well done, it's final, but there's semi-final one, there's a final to come after this here, you know, so it's just coming down from that euphoria and then getting up to it again. Some people might find that difficult, so they might, but I can't say, you know, it's just maybe something to consider.
Aye, and I suppose the probably a positive from Ross's point of view is the break between the semi-final and the final time to come down. And even David, you mentioned before, like, yeah, even some of them being involved with the football team, that's just something to change focus for, you know, even for a few days before resetting for this final too.
Ah, definitely. You know, it's I'm sure Kelly Murphy and the hurling management weren't thrilled about the football.
Gregory Kane was exactly the same in Dunlow, I can tell you. He watched Dunlow and Sarsfields through his fingertips. So,
you know, Dunlow, what, 7 or 8 hurlers are playing football last weekend. Yeah. So it's the same for both. But yeah, but I know what you mean about county final day. I don't know what the county have planned in terms of, there's normally a bit more pomp and ceremony. And do you know, like, your warm up might be a bit different, that you've got to maybe do this, that, the other before, instead of going straight into a game. Just, you know, maybe knocks you off your routine a small bit, like, but then again, you know, both teams were us as well. They were, what, in Croke Park in 2015, played the All-Ireland Intermediate Final. Okay, intermediate, but you're still going down to the big house and you still have to win a game there, which is a place that can sort of swallow you up a bit. You fellas there, like Jared Walsh, you don't know, Brian, were involved with Antrim last year in the McDonagh Cup final win as well. I suppose our rebel that has come up next this year, Adrian Keneally, he was the captain of Father O'Neill's, won a Cork Intermediate Championship there a couple of years ago, joint captain. So there's fellas there who have played on big games and big stages as well. So I suppose that experience is going to be key this week. And just, you know, when you're kind of getting out onto the pitch, maybe do your warm up, to see lads, just be mindful, like, we're not going straight into the game. Maybe there, I don't know, where's a parade or what's going on, really.
I think the County Camogie team, are they doing some kind of walkout, or that was just reading there?
Could be. I remember the day at half time.
Maybe it's half time, yeah.
Nobody has a few things, so I suppose that's going to be drilled in. That was, say, chatting to Colly the other night, and it's really, you know, just trying to stick to your process, just trying to, you know, just do things as normal, really, and I suppose whatever schedule you get for the day, you just go with it, really, you know.
Yeah, and actually, it was funny you bring up 2015 and their All-Ireland run there in the Intermediate Championship. There's been a kind of nice, people are drawing on kind of a correlation between, you know, that success and kind of the 6 years since then. Is it something that has been noticeable in the build up to the day? Like you see, you even talk about getting the final this year, but actually last year, you know, they were very much at that kind of at that pitch as well. Is there something that you've noticed over the years since that intermediate run and that decision to have dropped down that year before leading up to this weekend?
It hasn't really. Well, I suppose we've kind of brought it up more than anything else. In 2015, yeah. You know, Ross, I remember at the time, just the years prior to that, really, it was going nowhere in the senior championship, to be honest. It was obviously not an easy decision to drop down, but the plan was hopefully just to go straight back to senior. I think the following year, and it lost the senior semi-final to Cushion Dolls, 2016. But then in the Doldrums, I mean, it was only, what, 3-4 years ago, I remember playing Lochgale up at Rossett Park, and I think it finished something like 4:25 to 7 points. You know, that was only about 3 or 4. And it's, you know, there's not too many, I'd say a lot of the players played then that they're playing now. I think that year was a lot of injuries and stuff, but it's been a slow but sure kind of year on year build towards this, really, you know. I suppose, say, like Stephen Beattie was saying the other night, you know, it's nearly like been a 6 year plan from 2015 that we weren't expecting. But it's taken that length of time really to turn the corner, and once that bit of momentum gets behind you and a bit of confidence and self belief, then, you know, you start maybe being able to push on a bit.
Just then, I suppose, looking ahead to the match itself then, Brendan, the way Dunloy lined up in the semi-final with their lineup and even tactically how they lined up, do you foresee any changes to that there for this final? Do you think there's anything they would adapt to, you know, having played St John's to playing Ross? Is there any changes that they would make to their lineup there?
No, I don't see too many changes. So I don't that one's enforced, but I suppose with Phelan Duffin being out Sovereignty now there last Sunday, the footballers were playing Glenavy and the same film on crutches, so he's going to be missing out. He had to come off against St John's in the semi final, but probably looking at the likes of maybe Kevin McKay coming in for him, or you could see him and Smith starting again. So you could, so like the Dunloy have options there, so they have it in midfield and attack. You know, that's probably been the tried and trusted this year. They have the option of Declan Smith coming back. He had a bit of an impact whenever he came on against St John's in the last 10 minutes and breathed a bit of fresh impetus into the Dunloy attack, you know, and looked very dangerous, which I suppose from a personal perspective was great to see for Declan. He got injured a couple of years ago in the last league match of the year against Portaferry. It was a bad injury. I think it was his ACL, and he was a big loss for Dunloy at that time because Deggie was absolutely flying. He was probably hitting the scores that you would see Kobe and Killen hitting now. That's what he was kind of tallying each match back then. So but that's probably coming too soon to be fighting, you know, pushing for a place in the 15. But he's definitely an option there if required. But I really don't see Dunloy changing too much from what they threw out against St John's.
And even, I suppose, tactically as well, in terms of how they lined up there, you know, we talked about Shorty being, you know, kind of around half forward, and that's something similar you see for this day.
Aye, well, that's... I called him the Dunloy Perlow a couple of years ago, you know, in jest, so that, you know, he's kind of mastered that role where, you know, if he's not in the ruck, you know, very, very seldom do you see him in rucks and that there, that he's the get out ball for Dunloy and Shorty would like spray passes to the corners. It kind of is what they have touched on there. So they have, but I think that Dunloy have changed and almost evolved from this past couple of years and their style of play and how they go about these here games. You know, they may have been reliant on you know, the likes of Gabby McTaggart in the quarter line for high ball and things like that there, but there's not as much as that now. Yes, they'll always have that in reserves, and Gabby can come on. And I think it was in the, was it 2 years ago in the county final, he created, was it the both of the one and go, or the two late Dunloy goals against Cushion Daw? He definitely caught one and laid it off. So that was an unbelievable catch, you know, so that he has that there. I just have a feeling that Dunloy haven't varied too much from the 15 that you've seen against St John's and their style of play, and that just kind of stays. So it does, you know, that they'll use their pace and break from midfield as much as they can. You know, it's again, I would love to see Killen Molloy's stats after each game. So the amount of running that he does, he's up and down the pitch. You know, he's an incredible athlete, like say, as you know. But there's more than him in there that can do that there type of running. You know, and especially from half back for Dunloy too. You know, the attacking options is there. But as Dave kind of touched on, these guys have been together, worked together, and they know each other inside out. I know that's kind of obvious for a club team that you might say, but that everything's instinct now. So as you know, it's not like it's pre-trained or it's drilled into them. You know, this Dunloy team just seem to be working off instinct a lot. So they do, and that those split seconds that you see if be doing that there could be crucial in tight games like Sunday will be.
Yeah, and Dave, from Ross's end then, do you see many changes from the semi-final lineup that they would do, or even tactically, like they obviously, they did move Armstrong to full forward, is that something they could start with?
It's really hard to know. I think, you know, when you see Ross in these games, it's very much horses for courses, it's kind of how they go about it. I mean, the overall kind of style of this, it'll be very much high energy, high intensity, try and get in your face, and get that ball as quickly into the forwards as possible. Personnel-wise, don't know if it'll be too many changes. Could we maybe see Tommy Morgan starting for a bit of pace and try and do something different? As Brendan was saying, you know, Michael Armstrong can play anywhere. Just he did get those two goals in the semi-final, set up Roxy for the winner. Will he go straight back to full forward to start this game? Possibly, but not definitely. I'm sure the management have worked out who they want delaying certain people around the field, and that's how they'll probably set up. But yeah, it'll be built around kind of, especially around the middle third, a lot of energy, pace, intensity, and just trying to win that ball, really, to kind of send it into the forwards, whether it be fellas with pace like Darren Murphy to try and pick up scores, Tiernan Murphy, or Beattie, who's a physical presence maybe on the wing or full forward. Stephen Beattie could maybe go back to full forward, who knows. They will just identify just who they want to go on where and try to take it from that way. I'd imagine that how it starts is not likely how it's going to finish. There'll be maybe a lot of positional switches and maybe try and confuse and change things about by rotating players around the field. But I think just the mantra of the game will be the same. Just a lot of energy, a lot of work rate, and try and get the right men on the ball at the right time.
Yeah, I suppose the versatility they've got there is kind of an extra string to their bow, really, of they can mix it up. They could even decide, right, 40th minute, we're going to make this switch regardless of how it's going, just to change it up and all as well. They do have the personnel that allows them to do that, really.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, you know, for both teams, you know, the bench is going to be important. We saw really close to Darragh Rocks come off the bench to get the winner the last day, but not even that. One trainer came off, got a point. Conal Shannon came in, got a point as well. I mean, that was 1-2 off the bench, which was vital in that semi-final. Obviously, you always say it's a 20-man game these days, about your starters and finishers, and so that's going to be key as well. Who can come in, who can do a job, that'll be massive. But as I say, I expect there will be quite a bit of rotation as the game goes on, and it'll just be try and keep Dunloy on their toes and keep them thinking and just kind of show them different looks as they go through the game. And that might create the scoring opportunities. But, you know, defensively, we'll see the matchups pretty quickly as to who goes where. I'm not too sure they'll change too much. But I guess that'll all be revealed, really, come through in time, because numbers in the back really don't matter these days, do they?
Yeah, okay. No, that makes sense. And I suppose venue-wise, Brendan, you touched on Corrigan Park earlier, be a bit of a new scenery as well for Dunloy to win a championship there. You know, even if they're obviously, you know, they have their four finals in 5 years, but, you know, the opportunity to win one and, you know, a different setting, it's actually something that kind of, I suppose, gives them something to, an extra thing to think about there, and it probably allows them to extra motivation. Okay, we can win it anywhere, kind of thing. Winning a county championship up in Belfast too. Not exactly that Corrigan Park is exactly Ross's home ground or anything like that, but you know what I mean. It's kind of like it's a new venue for them to go to win it, and to win it in Belfast as well would be probably a nice touch for them to look at and an extra motivating factor.
Absolutely, yeah, you know that. Could be seen as an away venue, so it could, you know, some people will look at how they got there, so they love it.
I don't think Ross is a home venue.
I don't know, like, it's a field that is too goalposts either side, you know, that, and if you're talking to either sets of management, that's exactly how they'll be looking at it. But yes, there is that, so there is, you know, that thought of winning it somewhere different potentially. And I suppose from a Dunloy perspective looking at it, they'll be delighted that it's in Corrigan, so they will. Dunloy, the pitch in Corrigan seems to suit them, so it does, and that could be pointed at with how they played against St John's, but back in the group game as well. So it could, the Corrigan Park itself, the few matches that the county had there this year, and the limited numbers that there was a cracking atmosphere. So there was so. I'm expecting with a brilliant atmosphere on Sunday, considering there's going to be, I'm not sure what the numbers is going to be, but there's going to be considerably more to what there was even back in the Clare and Wexford games.
Yeah, great. Dave, I suppose Ross are looking to win a championship in Belfast in St John's ground, everything, like it's something that is stuff that the dreams are made of, really, from Ross's point of view, right?
I suppose it would be, yeah. But I think at this stage, after 17 years, Ross will be happy with McDonald's car park, you know, to play this championship. But yeah, I suppose it is kind of, it's maybe, I think we mentioned the other night, we're chatting, just the finals back in the city after a while too, and for maybe the kind of resurgence of Belfast hurling, really, if you want to call it that, just with St John's knocking the door and Ross and I being back in the final. It's quite nice maybe to have it here. It's a nice ground, great pitch. I suppose the bump and for Ross to win it in Corrigan Park would of course be nice, but I think just the main thing is just trying to win the thing, really, because it has been that length of time, you know, 17 years and then 16 years before that again. So, you know, I think the only thing that matters really is the big trophy at the end.
Yeah. Well, look, I think the only thing left for us to do here is to maybe call it. I mean, you look at the game and you look at the lineups and the form going into it as well. I think it has a draw written all over it myself. But if I was really sat on the fence there about it, but I don't know. for yourselves though, like, you know, you've closely watched both teams over the course of the year. Is there anything that you see coming out of it? I suppose, Brendan, I'll go to you first there. That if you had to kind of predict what was going to happen at the weekend.
I did a podcast with Colm Thompson about a month or so ago. So I did, and we were chatting about the championship and the runners and riders type of thing coming towards the end of the group stages. And I more or less alluded that I seen it being a Dunloy and Ross a final. So I did. I didn't come out in as much as say that. It wouldn't be that silly. So it's later throughout the county. So, but I just had this feeling that there was going to be another chapter to what happened last year. If you're asking me, do I think the Loyal won? Yes, I do. of course, I think I said in a preview to a match just a couple of years ago that I could make a case for Dunloy to beat Tipperary. So I could, if it really came to it. But to take my Dunloy goggles off for 1 second, and just 1 second. Dunloy are favourites. It's very hard to ignore that. So it is, and how Dunloy are capable of bringing their A game, and they've shown in previous that they have a B game and a C game if they really need to. The dangerous thing about Rossa, as I've touched upon, is their momentum and just that will and drive and desire that they have shown, especially against Cushing Dahl. Whenever they looked down and out, they didn't panic. They remained focused. They just showed incredible belief that day. I just think that Dunloy by no more than 2 points. That's the way I see Sunday.
Right. Dave, what about yourself then?
Yeah, look, I think it's definitely, it could be well be a very, very tight game. We could be in for a classic. Both teams perform because, you know, both have a pretty aesthetically pleasing style. So, yeah, look, Dunloy are favourites, and rightly so. You know, they're going for 3 in a row, 4 and 5 years. This has been their time. They've been in county final day and they've performed in county final day consistently over the last number of years. You know, say they are favourites, but, you know, Ross are coming in here as underdogs, but very live underdogs, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's by no means a foregone conclusion, this game. I can't bet against my own team, kind of, so I'm going to have to say that I think it'll be a close game. I think that Ross might just nick it.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Dave off my Christmas card last night, by the way.
The thing about it is, looking at it, like, you know, like I was saying there about a draw and all that there, but I think if you're looking at it, like, if a team could win by half a point, this would be the game. Do you know that kind of way? It's just that tight between the two of them and the form going into it. So I think,
you know, I noticed that next weekend is actually a free weekend. There's no championship fixtures. Has the county allowed for a replay next week already? Is this in the stars?
maybe foreseen.
They know something we don't.
Yeah,
I think maybe even on the game itself and looking back at last year's semi-final, you know, that and again it kind of alludes to how well and how much belief that this Rossa team have in themselves. You know, that after the first quarter, I think Dunloy were maybe 6 or 7 points clear up in Dunsally in the semi-final. So it took obviously Chrissy McMahon's, or if I was to give him his full and proper title since, is Chrissy the Rossa Slayer McMahon's point in injury time to win it that day. So that just kind of underlines how dangerous this Rossa team are. But yeah, it could quite well be a draw. So it could, you know, this really is one that all three results are very possible.
Yeah, and I suppose you're looking at it and you were talking, you know, there's been obviously a lot of focus around Ross, and you know, you look at one way you can make the case for Ross coming in with slight underdogs tag there, and actually that really favouring them, and then being able to go out and put on a performance and, you know, win the championship. But then you look at Dunloy and you say, well, they actually have the experience the last few years, and that's something that could help them. But you know, there's cases to be made for both teams there, and I know we're kind of sitting on the fence about all of it here, but I think if you're looking at it there, it's going to be a close game, and I think it's something that hopefully we'll get an entertaining day of hurling, and yeah, hopefully not a washout like the semi-final in Dunsilly there for the Dunloy St John's game, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and the fact that it's been shown in TG Cahir as well, you know, a chance to showcase Antrim Hurling to the rest of the country as well. You know, hopefully both teams can put on a show.
Yeah, great. Well, look, lads, I think we'll wrap up there. Thanks very much for joining me to preview. And as Brendan said, the game is live in TG Cahir on Sunday. So we look forward to it. Thanks very much, lads.
Good stuff.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
That's brilliant.